It doesn't matter if it's coronavirus, rioting, people complaining everywhere every day. It doesn't matter if all that's going on or not, God's still good. God's better to us than we deserve. Amen. Is now, has been, and always will be.
Amen.
I'm losing notes here already. Lord laid this message on my heart a while ago, maybe 15, 20 years ago, maybe. About 6 months ago, let us pray again before we get started. God, Lord, I need you right now. Amen. Help me calm my nerves.
Amen.
Lord, help me to speak so that folks understand what I'm saying. And Lord, I love you, God, and I ask you just help us now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I know the pastor asked us something there a little while ago about remembering, what song you woke up with on your heart this morning. And I got thinking about that thing. My son-in-law there, Joe, he says, man, I can't remember. He's up there a long time ago this morning. And it's funny because I was reading this comic the other day, and this old man was sitting in the park bench. And this other younger old man was sitting alongside of him. And the younger guy asked the old man, he says, you ever walk into a room and forget why you're there? He said, yeah. He says, as a matter of fact, he says, that happened to me this morning. He said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I went in this room and I stood there for the longest time just looking. He said, then I realized I was in the bathroom. He said, there was only one or two things I could have been in there for. It's funny how things recollect your memory, how things you forget and you pick them up somehow or another. I have a lot of fun with that as far as remembering people's names. I could see somebody not remember their name and walk away from them and 15 minutes later remember their name. That was so-and-so. Yeah, well, too late now, he's gone. About 6 months ago, I guess it was, maybe not that long ago, maybe 5 months ago, Pastor and I was going to a funeral. And I had a good talk with him about life. Mine in general. And got reading in the Bible, in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, it talks about, Solomon talks about time and time again, he talks about vanity. He talks about the things of life is vain. And I mean, he was the richest man on earth and had 800 and some wives. Well, I'm not real jealous of him over that one, but I mean, he had everything you could imagine, and he said it was all vanity. And I was telling him these things, you know, things that I had done in my life, and the Lord laid it on my heart to try to change some things. It seemed like most of the things I've done in my life, I've done for Howard Coleman and not for the Lord. And just a few things I wanted to say here before I get on with the message. But I spent 26 years in the Delaware National Guard. I was a first sergeant over 128 guys for 2 years. I worked for Stover Builders for 35 years. I coached Little League for 17 years. My wife and I were in the foster care program for 19 years, taking kids and raising them, and even adopting a couple of them. And I get thinking about all that stuff that I'd done, and how much of it was for God. I mean, at the time, I thought, you know, that it was for God. But the older I get, and someday, I realize there's some folks in here that are older than me, and there's some in here right at my age. But there's a lot of you in here that are nowhere near either one of those. And I want you to recollect and think about your life as a young person and the years that you may have. I don't know. You may not be here tomorrow if God sees fit to take you home. But you may live another 45, 50 years. And at the end of that 45, 50 years, what would the flashbacks in your mind be as far as what you did for God? And that's something I like for you to just think about. My advice to you is do all you can do while you're young. I heard an old preacher one time said that when your regrets are greater than your dreams, you know you're getting old. I got a lot of regrets. I don't have any regrets since I got saved, but I got a lot of regrets before that happened. God's been good to me, better than I ever deserved. He's a good God. My wife, she put up with a lot of stuff. There ain't no reason for her to even still be here with me. And this is God's honest truth. God's honest truth. I was wicked as hell when I was younger. I thank God for changing my heart. God's been good. She was 17 years old when we got married. I was 18. And they said it would never work. And I don't know when it's going to quit, but that was 48 years ago. 48 years ago, last month. She's been a good woman. She's took care of me. Took care of me. I lost my message here. You got them notes you had this. Oh, my goodness. Here we go. Here we go. If you turn your Bible to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. I sat right there while we were singing and broke my glasses. But they'll suffice. I got some more right here, brother. Romans 4, verses, I guess I already get there myself, huh? Romans 4. Did I say 14? I did say 14. I got a V alongside of it. It looks like it's verse. Romans 14. Verses 11 and 12. I want you to see this. It says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." I had a title for this message. It was called Things There Won't Be in the Rapture. Things that there won't be in the rapture. Let me tell you something, folks. Verse 12 says, "So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God as an individual." There will not be no mom there. There will not be no dad there. There will be no gang member there. No friends. We will be held accountable for ourselves. And that scripture right there is what brought that thing to my mind about what I'd done for God so far at this point in my life. And there's some things now that I probably never will do because of my age. But when I get to stand before God, I want him to realize that what I was doing and what I'm doing now daily is to be accountable to him. Amen. And I'd like to challenge you all here tonight. Be accountable to God. Amen. Be accountable to God. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, verse 34. It says, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all things all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in a field, and the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken in. Therefore, be ye also ready. I want you to take that to heart right there. Be ready. Therefore, be ye also ready. Ready for what? Ready for the rapture. Amen. Ready for the rapture. For in such an hour as ye think, not the Son of Man cometh. About the time you think he's not coming, he's going to show up. Amen. And he's going to, I'd hate to think the thought that I wasn't being accountable when he showed up. That I was out just goofing off someplace, doing something I had no business doing, talking to people I have no business talking to, hanging out with people I have no business hanging out with, and doing things I had no business doing. I'd hate to think that that's where I would be when the Lord comes back. And we don't know when that is. We don't have any idea when that's going to be. There will be no time, folks. I want you to take this to heart. There will be no time to pray. When the rapture takes place, there'll be no time to pray. There'll be no more altar. Right. No more second chances. Amen. Some of us may think that it's unjust or cruel. If you think God coming back when you're unprepared or one of your loved ones is lost and on their way to hell, if you think that's cruel, turn to Matthew chapter 27. Verse 26. It says, then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him, and they put him in a scarlet robe, and when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of Jews. And they're still doing that today. Still doing that today. Hail, the King of Jews. And they spit upon him and took a reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own garment on him and led him away to be crucified. To be crucified. Christ was scourged, beaten, whipped, and humiliated any way you could even think of, and ways that you couldn't think of. He was punched in the face. His beard was yanked out by the roots. He was mentally abused, stripped off his clothes, and humiliated. And they spit in his face. Tell me about being just. You know, you're talking about, well, God's unfair because of him coming back and us not knowing when he's coming. How fair do you think it was for them to treat him like that, that day that they give him a sentence that there's no way that he could beat it for a crime that he didn't do? Turn to Romans chapter 5. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 9. It says, much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. The only justice that we got is through Jesus Christ. If it wasn't for him, everybody in this room would be on their way to hell right now. Nothing you could do about it. But he took them whippings, took that beating, and died on a cross alone for you and I. He shed the blood. He shed the blood to wash away our sins. Sinful man that we are. Christ died for us. He loved us that much. The least we could do is accept him as our personal Savior. Jesus wants you to come to him today. Matthew 24:44. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Be ready. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Folks, I don't know if there's somebody in here who's lost tonight. Don't know Jesus as their Savior. I don't know where you stand as far as your relationship with him if you are saved. But I'm telling you, he's coming back. Amen. They say he's coming back, and he's not coming back as a baby in a manger.
That's right.
He's coming back as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And boy, is he mad. And in no way, shape, or form, I'd want to be on the opposite side. And that's what this message tonight is, to warn you. You don't want to be on the other side either. Amen. You want to be doing right and doing his will for your life.
Amen.
Without him, there's no hope whatsoever. None. No hope. Zero. Do you love him tonight? Is he your Savior tonight? Did you accept that blood to wash away your sins tonight? Is your conscience clear on what you've did in your past? If you're right with him? Because that's where we need to be. As a church on a Wednesday night, we should be right with God.
Amen.
And I often wonder this because I know when when Jesus went to the I think it was a centurion's house to save the little girl, or the little girl was dying or was dead. And when he walked into the house, he ran everybody out of that house that didn't believe. And the prayers were answered like that. I'm just curious, and I always have been since I've been going to church, and I've been going to church since 1977. I often wondered, when we got into a prayer meeting, how many people that were in that prayer were praying and didn't believe. And discouraged the people around them, and discouraged God from answering the prayer because he knew that person wasn't right. And he wants you to be right.
Amen.
He wants you to be right. He wants you to be wholeheartedly in love with him. I know they talk about the Jesus coming back, and there being a trumpet sound, and there's a song out now that I don't even know who sings it, but they're talking about I hear wedding music. That could very well be what we're going to hear from that trumpet. It could be wedding music. Because everybody in this room is the bride of God, a bride of Jesus. Can't wait to see him. I know it's a short message, but as to the point as I can get.
Amen.
If you're lost and on your way to hell, don't go that way. Don't go that way.
Amen.
If you got a loved one that's lost and on their way to hell, talk to them. Witness to them. Pray for them, but you got to be sincere. It's got to come from the heart. It's got to come from the heart. That's all I have, preacher.